welcome to the special edition of the CBS Sports Basketball Podcast. We are going to talk odds. We are going to talk odds with Sportsline.com's Larry Hartstein. He is an expert over there. That is a place where you can get, guys, you got to go check out Sportsline. I am not even doing this as a plug. I'm being very, very serious. It's awesome. Like the numbers that you can get estimations of where the money's coming in, like what the public is saying, all of this kind of stuff. And we're going to talk about the conference finals with Larry right now. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt.
So, obviously, the conference finals have been extremely lopsided, and these playoffs have been extremely lopsided with the Cavs and the Warriors. Now, last night, we saw one of the biggest upsets. People have described it. I can't confirm this, that it was the biggest actual betting upset in NBA history, that the line of 17 was actually the largest in NBA history. I don't know if we have any way to possibly confirm that. It does certainly seem high, but overall, the trend's clearly been that Golden State and Cleveland have been doing incredible things, not just in terms of their on-court domination, but against the spread as well.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the biggest spread in history. Actually, last year, the Warriors lost at the Lakers as 17.5-point favorites. Before that, I'll give you a number. Before that, teams that were favored by 16.5 or more had been 101-1 against the spread.
Wow.
Against straight up.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the biggest upset, NBA playoff upset, in at least 20 years. And at certain points of the game, you could have had 24-1, you know, risk 100, win 2400 on the Celtics. And a few people did that out in Vegas when they were down 20 in the third quarter.
Now, Golden State San Antonio, game four is tonight, Monday night. We're recording this on Monday morning. And Kawhi Leonard is expected to be out again. And the series has been kind of hard to figure out because, obviously, the Warriors were big favorites in game one. I was surprised that what were they in game one? 10?
They were laying 10. Yeah, I was on them and had no chance to cover that the entire game.
Yeah, and so that was surprising, but then obviously Kawhi goes down, they win that game. But if you took the money line on them, I don't know why you would with the odds you were getting, but if you had the money line on them, you were happy with how they snuck that one out. But then obviously in game two, they destroy them. And then in game three, they kind of let their foot off the pedal a little bit, and it seems like they're just kind of like going through the motions because they know that this team without Kawhi Leonard can't beat them. What have you seen leading up in terms of the action for game four?
Yeah, well, they covered easily in game two. They covered game three. There were certain points where the Spurs had a chance to cover. They were getting 9, 9.5 in that game. Now they're getting 12 tonight, and it's interesting. It opened at 11. Everyone jumped on the Warriors because nobody expects Kawhi to play. It got to 12, and it's kind of holding. A couple times it's inched up to 12.5, and right then is where the professional bettors jump in and take the 12.5, and then it goes back to 12. So I think you're going to see it settle at 12. I'm still looking at this game. It's hard for me to stay off when we only have one game a day, and I've had a really nice run in the NBA, but if it just stays at 12, I may stay away from this one tonight.
Yeah, at one point you won 10 in a row, right?
Yeah, I had a 10-0 run. Overall, 123-90, up 2,400 for the year. Cannot complain about that, but 10-0, it was beautiful while it lasted.
Man, and that's why you guys got to check out Sportsline. I do expert picks every day on CBSSports.com, and my record is not nearly as good as that. I was really good like 2 years ago, and I have not been able to get a feel for the lines this year, especially because I have to pick every game during the NBA season, which is a nightmare. But overall, you got to check out Sportsline with all of the great information that they've got over here. They've got they put grade values on, the over, the under, the money line, where things are at. The over right now is, am I correct that the under is actually a B right now on Sportsline? Is that correct?
I'm looking at the picks right now, but this series has been all over by an average of 18 points. I mean, the totals haven't been close, and the total tonight opened at 215 all the way up to 218. The public is just hammering Warriors and over, Warriors and over. Every guy that goes to the window is saying Warriors and over. So it's a question of how far it will get. And the more that you get a blowout, tends to keep scoring down. That's at least the thinking. But of course, it didn't hold that way in game two when they put up 136.
Hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that the Spurs are going to be able to hang with kind of a defensive approach without Kawhi. the question is going to be, like, can they finally get, like, some shooting from Patty Mills? Can they finally get, you know, can LaMarcus Aldridge finally not look like absolute garbage for just, like, two quarters? And they could just put the, because I feel like the Warriors, for the most part, when they take the pedal off, they take the pedal off defensively. That's kind of where I think that they tend to loosen up most. They're fine just trading baskets with you because they know that they have the scoring and they're fine with that approach. I think if you do think that they're gonna kind of let up in this game, that's kind of what it comes down to, right? It's like whether how seriously is Golden State gonna take this game?
Yeah, and I actually was disappointed in the Spurs, even though everyone said how hard they fought without Kawhi. I mean, you look at some of those possessions when they were down 10 or down 12 and had a chance to make it a game. Just some stupid plays by Gasol, some terrible turnovers. I don't think they played Spurs, but they played hard. I didn't think they played smart at all. And you're right, Golden State is just, they lock in for a few minutes at a time. They have not been it's kind of shocking to say they haven't lost, but they haven't been overly impressive, I don't think, in this series.
How's Golden State been throughout the playoffs? Because I know these spreads have been crazy high. How have they been overall in the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing. They're now on a 10-0 against the spread run on the road. They don't get the same type of inflated spreads on the road, and they've been able to cover them on the road. For the playoffs, they're 7-4 against the number. The Cavs are 7-3 with one push. So 14-7-1, I mean, 67%. You can't really complain about that if you've just been betting the big favorites all the way. So that's where they've been. And again, they've covered 10 straight road games going into tonight.
What do you describe all the money that comes in on the Warriors too, in terms of, like, these lines are obviously high all the time? Is it just like uber confidence in their domination? I mean, I know that they've been terrific against the spread. The last, like, 3 years, they've been awesome. Like, basically whenever I have a Warriors game that I'm picking, every single time I'm putting 120-100 for score. Like, that's just where I go by default. What do you think it is that puts all that public money on the Warriors though?
You know, I mean, you get a lineup like Durant, Clay, Curry, Green, Iguodala, and it's just the public is in love with that, you know, and it's something where when you get to this time of year, you get a lot more public bettors. It's not the grinders betting every day of the season. These are people that come out and want to bet the playoffs. There's not a lot going on in sports to bet right now other than baseball and this. So you get a lot of public money. They're infatuated, you know, with the Warriors and with LeBron, and And the thing is, the books have not been able to make the lines high enough.
That's crazy. I mean, that's crazy to me that they haven't been able to make them high enough, and they just keep covering because some of these spreads are ridiculous. Speaking of a ridiculous spread, I was shocked. I know that it's at home. I know that a lot of wonky stuff happened in Game 3. I get it. But I was really shocked that after Boston, without Isaiah Thomas, goes into Cleveland and gets a win, a straight-up win, not just against the – not just covers, but wins outright, that the line opens for Game 4 at Cavs minus 15. It's now down to 14.5. I was a little surprised that there's that much confidence in what we've seen to be a very lazy Cavs team getting that much confidence.
Yeah, and I was on them last night, and I was feeling good when they were up 21. They just stopped playing. You know, they really just started playing like playground type of basketball, not running anything, dribbling. Nobody's cutting. And, yeah, you know, professional bettors agreed with you because immediately they took the 15 with the Celtics, and you're seeing a lot of 14.5s right now around town. So I think it's going to stay right in that number, 14-15. But at 15, I think people just respect the Celtics so much. And like we saw, you know, and I think, I don't know who wrote it on CBS, the whole piece about Isaiah Thomas and how the Celtics play without him. They have other guys that can, you know, fill it up who may not have been getting the shots, you know, like Smart. So I think a lot of the professionals will be on Boston again if it's 15 or more.
Yeah, whoever wrote that was really smart. Wait, that was me. I wrote that because I'm really smart, or as James always tells me, I'm just a hater for Isaiah Thomas. I think it's interesting that Boston, the money line is Boston plus 1,300, which that looks tasty. That to me, I'm like, I mean, I know that the idea of the Celtics taking two in Cleveland sounds preposterous, but at plus 1,300, that just feels like incredible value to me.
Yeah, and they have been a better road team, at least against the spread. They've been a better road team all year. I think we even saw that in the first round. They were terrible in those first two games at home against the Bulls and, you know, then turned it around when, you know, Rondo left. But I just respect the way they play the game and the way they're coached and how they got that tremendous look in the last few seconds. So yeah, if the Cavs do not focus for the whole game, yes, they could win. Otherwise, it's hard to see them not bouncing back with a supreme effort, though.
How have the Cavs been against the spread in these playoffs?
Yeah, they've been, the first two games against the Pacers, they did not cover. Then they went on a ridiculous 7-0-1 run against the spread. Some people might even have 8-0, depending on what number you got. And then last night, the line just went nuts, 13.5 all the way up to 16.5 where it closed, and it looked like they might cover that in the third quarter, but they didn't. And, at some point you can't shoot like that every game, right?
Yeah, you would think that you can't. I mean, the Warriors and the Cavs are kind of testing our limits of what's sustainable. I've always been kind of fascinated / perplexed / consternated by the Warriors' ability to just completely flummox traditional concepts of sustainability. That's the thing, is like, I used to believe that only that shooting was normalized, and the Warriors completely, and we've seen kind of the Warriors expand that, and it's now kind of league-wide, where shooting is just such a prevalent outlier. It feels like historically all over, we're in maybe the greatest shooting era of all time. I think unquestionably we are. This is the greatest shooting era in NBA history, and I have to imagine that's impacting a lot of the action, both over-unders and the spreads, because of those elements.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a completely different game, and it's also, I think it's just a completely different game from the regular season. You could just, like, throw out whenever they say, oh, this team went 3-1 in the regular season against, just throw it out. Don't even consider it in your handicapping because of the lack of focus, the lack of, starters playing, the lack of effort, and you see it now with the Cavs, except for last night when they got up big. How they were, I don't want to say coasting, but they definitely weren't showing up like this.
Okay, so with all due respect to Boston, who's given a great effort, and with all due respect to the Spurs, who certainly have a tremendous team, and we've seen them pull off wins without Kawhi before, but, the Rockets are not the Warriors. We'll talk more later this week after these series end. If they end quickly, of course it could go long, but if they were to end early, we will start talking about what is going to be the most hyped finals, really, that I can remember. The first match between these two was epic. The second one was legendary with a 73 win team versus.
What's your adjective? What's going to be your adjective for this one? Epic, legendary. How do you get better than that?
Colossal? Maybe albatrossian. Maybe that's what we're going to go with. Albatrossian. Is that a word? I'm going to make it up and we're going to say that's a word. These finals are kind of considered to be too big to fail in terms of entertainment value. I'm skeptical. We'll see. There is a kind of an indication. Some of us have this kind of media guys. I was talking about this when I was covering Spurs Rockets. There's kind of a sense of us is like, what if the Warriors just beat the pants off them? Like, what if this is just like, what if this isn't a competitive finals? But it's obviously going to be really intense, and there's going to be a lot of interest, and that's also going to be obviously with the lines as well. What are some of the early indications that you think that we'll see when those lines finally come out for Cavs Warriors 3?
It's been where the Warriors have been sort of the overwhelming favorite most of the year, and lately the lines have come down a little bit, and I think people are going to just kind of give the Cavs a pass on last night and believe what we've seen the last couple weeks, and it's gotten a little closer. The Warriors still a heavy favorite to win the title. I believe it's 9-20, so you got to like risk 220 just to win 100 on Golden State, whereas the Cavaliers, it's 7-5. You can risk 140. I'm sorry, you could risk 100 to win 140. So it's evened up a lot more, but still the Warriors will be the favorite. We were just talking off the air. I'm thinking it'll probably be about minus 200 to win the series, risk 200 to win 100 on Golden State.
I'm going to be really fascinated in that game one line. I'm excited for the line to come out for game one. I want to know because, after last year, like, how do you put LeBron as a heavy underdog, even on the road versus this team? How do you really say that, like, because we saw this versus the Spurs, a 61 win team, the Warriors were 10-point favorites in game one. And you could argue that the Spurs had a better season or were a stronger team overall than the Cavs this year. Are the Cavs going to get more or less respect?
I think we're going to see it around six. you know, I think that'll be where, yeah, I'm just throwing that out right now. I really need to look up what the lines have been during the year, but that feels about right to me.
Man, six.
6.5?
Six, I would jump on the Warriors. You know, something like that? I would be all over in them for the Warriors at home in Oracle in game one of the finals, their first playoff matchup after losing 3-1 last year with Kevin Durant. Oof. Oh, this is going to be great. We'll talk later this week about that if the conference finals were to end. That's Larry Hartstein of sportsline.com. You guys need to go there and check it out. You can sign up and subscribe. It's got great information every single day. They got in-depth analysis on every single thing that you could possibly want to be looking at from a gambling perspective. They've got FanDuel stuff. They've got DFS. They've got all of these things covered over there on sportsline.com. Larry, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.